welcome to Sex, Drugs, and Spirituality with Sydney DeLorean. That's me. I bet you thought I abandoned this podcast, and I dang near did, but I'm so good at it. Here I am, back on mic. I'm going to make this podcast happen. If you were a Patreon subscriber, by the time you're hearing this, you'll notice I took the Patreon down. I have not been consistent with my content upload, and I'm not trying to take anybody's money. Also, Patreon is where I was doing Decency with DeLorean, talking about my personal life, and I'm going to be real with you. I don't think that's good for me. I don't think it's good for anyone. We live in an individualistic society, and everyone thinks they're their own little celebrity, and it's so goddamn toxic to always be TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever the fuck you're doing, posting about yourself, to spend so much time thinking about yourself, trying to make your life a movie, as the kids say. It just fucking isn't, okay? I think that American individualism is gross, and a myth to begin with, and we've really ratcheted up where everyone is just so into themselves and their own journey and their own whatever, and it's toxic. I don't think talking about myself is good for me. And after last year's career change, where I worked alone 45 hours a week teaching and driving all over town, being in my thoughts while I was driving, working by myself, teaching, you know, being an island, that shit was not good for me. I think it is better for me to work in a team, collaborative environment. I think it's good to have to work with people you don't like, to have to compromise and collaborate. It's really important to stop, collaborate, and listen. And the end of last year was rocky as fuck for me. I'm going to be honest. I quit my teaching job, and I was supposed to start another job. I worked one day. It was not what I was promised, so I quit. And I had to scramble with gig work and cater waitering, and that was scary. And right as I was working my last 2 weeks to finish out my fucking, I put in a 4-week notice, but my last 2 weeks of that teaching gig, my mom got diagnosed with breast cancer, and my friend got murdered, and it was fucking a lot. And like shit like that, you know, the end of last year, like also before any of that, like my dog ate meth off the ground. My dog ate meth, quit my job, mom got cancer, friend got murdered, and things like that. When life actually gets hard, it makes you realize the importance of support networks, family, and community. And I've just been trying to not be online, not be alone. I've been spending a lot of time at my mom's house, cleaning, organizing, doing stuff. Like, this is the thing about my mom, is she struggles to do laundry and dishes and clean. She'll fucking take on tit cancer, no problem. And she did. She just graduated radiation therapy yesterday, and she's doing great. But so I've been helping her with the things in her life that she struggles with. I've been going out of my way to spend time with friends and loved ones, because my friend who was murdered was like a big lover, big family, big friend supporter. Like the type of person that would have your back whether or not you wanted her to. And, you know, the way that so many people were devastated with the loss, I think it says, like, God, everyone should have that many people that fucking love them. And you know why people loved her? Because she went out of her way to help others and be there for others. And so I like to learn my lessons and keep, you know, I always say you only need to learn a lesson once. And so I think for me, being alone, working alone, being isolated, what did we learn when the world shut down and everyone was isolated and society, which already was kind of gross, just went ahead and lost its dang mind? Is that being isolated ain't good for nobody. So anyways, that was a really fucking long way of saying that I'm not going to do the Patreon anymore because I'm not trying to talk about myself that much. I'm not trying to be it up in my shit, up in my feelings that much, because I think it's more important to do shit than talk shit. I really don't give a fuck what people say. I give a fuck what people do. It's how I judge their character. And rather than spend time thinking and talking, I've been doing, and it's put me in a much better place. And a place where I'm ready to do this podcast again, I think. And it may not be as consistent as I want it to be, because right now I am homeless. I'm calling it homelish, just because my new place is not ready yet. And I was supposed to have like a little 2-week couch surfing journey between leaving my shithole apartment where my dog ate meth and dude, that place. Anyways, I was supposed to have a 2-week couch surfing journey. It's looking more like 8. And to be honest, I'm kind of loving it. I'm splitting my time between my boyfriend's house, who lives outside of the city, and staying in my mom's RV. She has like a vintage travel trailer in her driveway. And she lives outside of the city and spending a little more time in nature. And it's nice. It is fucking nice. You know what's nice? Fucking nature. You know what sucks? Congested cities. So that's where I'm at. Podcast is fixing to be popping off more. And here we are. So today's podcast, now I feel gross because I just talked about myself again. I'm going to learn how to do it less. Fucking learning. I just want to be less. I just want to be less representative of our toxic narcissistic culture. I want to be less, and I'm going on a personal journey to fucking get there. Okay, so today's podcast is about the goddess Sedna, and not to be confused with the planet Sedna, who I believe is named after this goddess. And this is how I found out about this bitch. I was watching the newest season of True Detective, and it is not good. So if you haven't watched it, don't. True Detective is only good every other season. Season 1 is great. Season 2 is actually, if you want to fucking be miserable, watch season 2. It is literally just about a bunch of really dark, miserable, broken people attempting to solve crime, I think. Season 3, fucking awesome. Mahershala Ali and Stephen Dorff are amazing in it. The set deck is amazing in it. And it's when I realized Mahershala Ali is hot. And it's because when they put makeup on him to make him an old man, I thought he was really hot. And then we see him when he's young and I go, oh, he's a little baby. And because I'm gross, because I'm fucking gross, because you take a gorgeous man and I go, oh, he's all right. And then you put special effects makeup on him to make him 80. And I go, hey then, daddy. Speaking of which, March Dadness is going on right now, voting on my Instagram stories. What a time. So season one is good, season two is bad, season three is good, season four, I said, let's fuck around and find out. It is very, very, very bad. I wanted it to be good. Jodie Foster, who I've never been attracted to, is incredibly hot in it. And I think what I find attractive is that she's skinny and mean. And I just love a woman who is just tough as nails and weighs 110 pounds. And so Jodie Foster I found very attractive in this series. It takes place in Alaska during the time of year where it is totally night all the time. The season is called True Detective Night Country. And it involves Jodie Foster and her former partner, who is an indigenous woman, getting together to solve this murder situation. And in this town, there's a lot of clashing between the indigenous people and the mine there that is actually poisoning the water supply with their drilling. And this season sucks, but in order to try to understand what the fuck is happening, I was watching all these YouTube videos where people break it down scene by scene and explain things. And I never would have known if I hadn't watched these videos that a lot of the imagery. This is, dude, if you're like an OG listener, this is going to take you back to the autonomous days where I literally thought autonomous was a different word than autonomous. And I said autonomous for an entire episode. Anyways, there's a lot of imagery that, is based on this Inuit goddess named Sedna, which they never name her or explain her. And it actually turns out by the end of the season that it has nothing to do with her. It's just a fucking cock tease. But, Sedna sounded cool as fuck, so I ended up reading more about her. So she's an Inuit goddess. And if you guys remember, again, kicking it old school style, my obsession with Persephone, who was just trying to, you know, color the flowers with her little paint pot. And then her dad sold her off to his brother, god of the underworld. And then she had to, like, go now live at the bottom of the ocean. And I was like, man, I, like, hard relate to this chick Persephone, because she's just trying to make the world beautiful and then all the men fuck it up. So Sedna, very similar story. There's different versions of the myth, but basically her parents kept trying to marry her off. This is my favorite version of the story, by the way. Don't take it as the be-all end-all. Fucking go read stuff written by people who are experts in these things. I just love a good little narrative. So her parents try to marry her off, and she's not into any of the dudes that they're, like, proposing that she get with, right? It's very tale as old as time. It's the story of Aphrodite. It's the story of Disney Pixar's Brave. She doesn't want no scrubs, and she doesn't like any of these dudes. And so she decides to marry a dog instead. Also, as somebody who... Listen, I don't have a romantic relationship with my dog, but I do think it's really important to have a dog as your soulmate and then just fuck dudes on the side. Don't worry, my boyfriend understands that's the arrangement. I love him. He's the best human being I've ever met. But also, the linchpin of my mental health is my dog. So Sedna's like, I don't want no scrubs. I'm going to marry this dog. In some versions of the myth, at this point, her dad takes her out to the ocean to drown her. In other versions of the myth, she moves to an island and has children with the dog. Half of the children are human. Half of the children are dogs, or some versions, they're like human bodies with dog heads. At which point her dad then is like, what the fuck are you doing? And he pretends he wants to bring her back to land. And then he tries to drown her. And so in the True Detective, you see a lot of like tattoos on hands with lines at the fingers. And I guess this is a thing that some Indigenous people will get, these line tattoos on their fingers, because her dad gets her on the boat, throws her overboard, and she tries to climb back in, and he severs her fingers, and she drowns. And the little fingers, like the little digits, like where your nails are, those become the smaller fish and stuff. And the bigger digits that are severed, those become like seals and I don't know, what other ocean creatures. But so because her fingers become the ocean creatures that the people ate for food, she's kind of seen as a life force or a giver of life. She's a goddess of the ocean. And she is the source of life because her fingers became the creatures that now humans can eat for food and sustenance. So she's really well regarded. Hold on, let me pull up. I pulled up the Wikipedia, which is like actually not great. So she's a sea goddess. And when she is angered, there's a shaman that travels to wash and comb her hair for her. And then it like releases animals to the hunters. And so because she doesn't have fingers, there's the shaman has to wash and brush her hair. Let's see. Do you like how I'm reading Wikipedia? This is a quality podcast for free. This is why I'm not going to do Patreon anymore, because I know this shit isn't worth paying for. So anyways, she's like a goddess of the ocean, and if she's angry, there's storms. So people want to keep her happy because she's the source of food. She's worshipped by hunters, and they kind of depend on her goodwill for food supply. She's generally considered a vengeful goddess, and hunters must placate and pray to her to release the sea animals. Let's see. People would throw worn out harpoons, broken knives, and morsels of meat and bone into the sea as offerings. So I like love this because again, this is a bitch who the world was not set up for her to do her thing. She just wanted to be happy and be an independent woman and not like marry some guy and be subjugated by him. Or she just wanted to marry her dog because her dog probably was better than these assholes her parents were trying to marry her off to. And the world was like, nah, you don't get to do what you want. And she's like, okay, cool. Well, I'm like now in charge of the ocean and you're going to need to please me if you want to eat. And that is super cool. So let's see. Sedna is a planet that was discovered in 2003 and was named after her. It's a trans-Neptunian object. Does that mean it's not technically a planet? Let me see. Trans-Neptunian object is any minor planet in the solar system that orbits the sun at a greater average distance than Neptune. So does that mean they're technically it's in our galaxy, which is, what is our, galaxy the Milky Way? Y'all, I am like so into space lately and I don't know anything. I just get super stoned and watch documentaries about space and it makes me so happy. If you wonder what I've been doing the past year that I haven't been recording podcasts, it's been literally watching space exploration documentaries and not having the base knowledge to integrate anything I'm learning in enough to explain it. Let's see. But I think that is, Okay. So trans-Neptunian objects. The first trans-Neptunian object to be discovered was Pluto in 1930. It took until 1992 to discover a second trans-Neptunian object orbiting the sun. That is Albion. The most massive is Eris, followed by Pluto, Huemo, Makemake, and Gonggong. These are fun to say out loud. Okay, more than 80 satellites have been discovered in orbit of trans-Neptunian objects. They vary in color, blah, blah, blah. So basically, Sedna is in our solar system, and she is not a planet. Okay, I lied when I said there's a planet named Sedna. But sometimes the YouTube videos, they'll describe her as a planet, but she's not. She's a trans-Neptunian object. And aren't we all? Aren't we all trans-Neptunian objects? So anyways, I don't know if I really did a great job of telling the story of this lady. But I think that she's super cool. She has really long hair in all of the depictions, hence why she needs a shaman to comb it. And I fucking wish I did. I recently got a haircut because my friend was murdered, and it's really easy to become obsessed with something as a distraction from your emotional pain, and I chose that to be my hair, much like If you ever come to me and go, oh, you did something different with your hair, it's because, like, someone I know died. As a woman, we cope with things via our hair. I wanted it chopped off in a little bob. I wanted that. Remember when Paris Hilton had a bob in, like, 2007? Or in 2014, Taylor Swift had a platinum bob. I was like, I want a bob. I want my hair jaw length. Let's do it. And I'm going to wear it curly, and that's just going to, whatever. And, after years of growing my hair out, my hairdresser, because she is a smart person, said, let's cut it halfway. And then if you want it shorter, we can do that next month. And thank God she did, because the minute it was cut, I initially wanted it shorter. I wanted my bob. But the thing is, I'm 39, so my bob doesn't look cute and spunky like it does on a 23-year-old. It looks matronly. And also, I tried to put my hair up in a ponytail on top of my head to work out, and it doesn't all reach because it's fucking short. And then I have hair on my neck when I work out, and I can't stand it. So I within a week regretted my haircut, because I do just want long flowing platinum Aphrodite hair, and I'd want a shaman to comb it, in order to keep me happy. So I'm like, Sedna's like a baddie. She does what she wants. She's got gorgeous hair. She creates life. She lives in the water, which is all of my dreams. All of my dreams. Why do I live in Arizona and I now have short hair? I don't know, because I want to live in the ocean and have long hair. But I want to keep my fingers. So I guess I'm not going full Sedna, because I want to keep my fingers, but I think she wanted to keep her fingers. It wasn't her dad chopped them off. So fuck him. What's up with all the bad dads in mythology? I get all these emails and I ignore them, from sometimes like legitimate people in their fields. Like their press agent will email me and be like, would you like to have this expert on? And then I'll look it up and it's like, yeah, he won a Nobel Peace Prize for his science, but in the 20 years since, he's been disgraced in the scientific community. Or it'll be like, oh yeah, this person's a successful tantric yoga teacher, but also I don't know if I want to deal with their bullshit. But if someone who is a legit mythology expert, who has their master's or PhD in some sort of mythology something, wants to come on the podcast and talk to me about it, I would love that. And I, that maybe they could answer the question is what, why are there so many bad dads in mythology? Because there are like a lot. And what is that theme throughout history that, basically, like, the well-being of a people depends on whether or not you have a good daddy or a bad daddy. Like Christianity is all about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Christian God is kind of a father figure. And then mythology is all about, like, well, this chick's dad sold her to this guy, or this dad was good and saved his kid, or this dad wanted to eat his kids so that they couldn't become more powerful than him. Like, mythology is all about father figures. And that shit is actually kind of wild. And maybe that'll be my next rabbit hole that I fall down. But anyways, I'm back. I'm going to start making podcasts regularly. There ain't going to be no more Patreon because I just don't. I'm not trying to take anybody's money for my inconsistent uploads. And I don't really want to talk about myself that much more. You might get little whispers of what I'm up to through the podcast. You will or you won't. But I'm going to talk less. I'm going to do more. And I hope everyone's doing well.